Blog Talk Radio.
Chatting with Sherry is presented by the Writers and Illustrators of the Future. They have been providing a means for new and budding writers to have a chance for their creative efforts to be seen and acknowledged. Welcome to Chatting with Sherry. I'm really happy to welcome back talented actor Bryce Baxter. He's been in Miss Fisher and The Crypt of Tears. He's got a new movie called out called Redemption Day. He was in a movie called Greetings from Isis, and he was in Good Omens. He's a really lovely man. Now, this is a recorded show, and it was recorded the day after the Palm Springs Film Festival, which I got to see Miss Fisher and The Crypt of Tears, and Bryce hadn't seen it yet. So here's Bryce.
Hi, Bryce. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Sherry. Thank you for welcoming me back.
I'm so happy to have you back. I mean, it's been a year, right?
Yeah, maybe less. I think we spoke last in May, right? Maybe May, June.
Yeah, I think it was June. Yeah, you're right. Okay, so it's like more than 6 months, maybe 7 months?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going on a year, yeah.
So that's been happening.
Well, a lot of great things, and I wouldn't know where to start, really. Why don't you guide me?
I'll guide you. Okay, well, let's start with Miss Fisher. I know you haven't seen it yet, but the premiere of it was at the Palm Springs Film Festival. What do you think?
First of all, I think it's unfair because you've seen it. I didn't expect it yet. But yeah, I'm so excited. I learned, I think really recently that it was selected at the Palm Springs Festival. So I was really, really excited about this news. And I was excited that, you know, it was the world premiere as well and that everyone got to see it. I'm also very happy I didn't get caught from the movie. That's good. I've gotten a lot of feedback and a lot of you know, great messages from people who attended the last two premieres, and they've seen me, they've noticed me, and it was really cute, really nice, and now I can't wait to, you know, be able to watch it, to, you know, share the same excitement with everyone.
Yeah. Hey, I had to drive 2.5 hours there and back, 5 hours driving just to see this. In one day. So I paid.
Yeah. But I mean, was it worth it?
Yes, it was great. I loved it. It was really fun. I can't say a bloody thing about the film, as you know. But
yeah,
it's great.
Now you've bound it to the secret of the movie like I am, right?
Yeah. I was talking to you off camera. Now I understand how you actors feel. Because I can't say anything. You really want to, but you can't.
Yeah, it's not that fun. I had to ask you to guide me, you see, because I don't really know what I can say, what I can do or not yet.
But, yeah, it's a really good movie. Really, really nice and twisty mystery. Really, really good. I loved it.
That's yeah.
And Morocco looks spectacular. Tony Tilth and Roger Lancer did amazing work behind the camera.
Right.
It just
caught the beauty of Morocco. I got to see a few glimpses of it in the trailer. It looks amazing.
It just glimmers. It's just incredible.
I tell you, the light in Morocco is amazing. A lot of directors come here and chase this amazing light we have because it really helps them. We forget about that. It's not just about having the landscape, but also the lights. You know, the sky, this blue sky, this very intense sun, and it helps them give all this beauty that you can only see in the trailer already. You know, it's amazing the way Ezzy is shot and the way, you know, she looks in all those scenes. It's just amazing.
Yeah, in the trailer, we can talk about the trailer because everybody's seen the trailer.
Yes, that's why I'm going back to the trailer. Did you see the little sneaky move I just did?
you can talk about the trailer. But there's this part where Shirin, like I can say that because it's in the thing on IMDb. Shirin is one of the characters in the movie, and she throws her arms out, and there's this big sandstorm coming toward her. That's just bloody amazing.
Yep. Exactly. And I was behind the camera that day. I was behind it. I was not behind it, but I was behind with the crew, and I witnessed that scene. So that was pretty cool.
Oh, was it as gorgeous as it looked on camera?
Yeah. It was amazing. It was just amazing to witness something like this. It was we were in the middle of the desert, and everything was real. I think there's no VFX. Like, they literally used like a real big windblower, and it was incredible.
And the camels were. And the actors in the middle of the desert with them going along, and they have that beautiful expanse of the desert. Just breathtaking.
It just came back from this side of Morocco, actually. I was there filming a commercial. It was, I never got to explore it really well because I always go there on movie sets. So when I go there, I'm like on set at 5 a.m. and I'm, you know, back home. I mean, In our hotel, wherever we are, in tents sometimes. I just go back around 9 p.m., so I never get to explore, see, you know, the sceneries as much as I did, because I got to shoot, like, a commercial the week before Christmas we stayed there for, like, an entire week, and so I really got to explore, and I really got to, you know, enjoy the desert and everything it offers. And the sky, for example, we got at night was just amazing. We all stargazed every night, and it looked like a painting, and it was so close to us. I think there's no other, you know, better place or spot in the world than a desert in general, because you guys have a few in the States as well.
Yeah, I just drove through it.
Oh my God, stargazing in the desert is just amazing, because you get this, like, perfect picture, and there's no pollution, no lights, artificial lights around you, so you get to enjoy the sky and really, really incredible things. So, I don't know, all the actors who come to Morocco and all these great actors have been able to share, you know, the screen with, or, you know, a few moments, have really, really enjoyed the side of Morocco. Very, you know, this very, you know, I guess getting back to your roots, off the grid kind of thing that, you know, it offers. It offers a very, you know, I guess, modern side as well, and like has big cities that everyone knows, like Marrakesh, Casablanca, and but also has this whole like incredible landscape and diversity it offers. And I think I'm more and more mesmerized, because it's a country I grew up in for a while, and I'm still impressed because I get to discover it even better now that I do this job and I'm taking on assignments everywhere, and it's gorgeous, and I'm very, very grateful. My career allows me to have, you know, a different office and offices as cool as those every day.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
It's really funny because some people didn't realize, I always laugh at this, some people didn't realize Casablanca, because of the movie, Humphrey Bogart, Ingrid Bergman, was in Morocco, and I was like, it even says it at the beginning of the movie. How can you not know where it is?
Yeah. It's, Casablanca. It's, wow, legend.
I mean, it does. At the beginning of the movie, it says, it shows a map, and it says Morocco right there.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but it never gets shot in Morocco. You don't
know. Oh, no, Hollywood downstage.
Yeah. But, I mean, they did good. To be fair, I saw a lot of, like, you know, pictures from Casablanca back then, and they've been very faithful to it. So I think this is why people love it so much.
But is there a rig?
Yeah, well, there is a rig, but it's not really, like, it was built, I think, maybe in the 70s or 80s, but it's really, really cool, and a lot of people, especially Americans, when they come here, they all go to the rigs. It's like, it's in Casablanca itself. They have, like, you know, a lot of screens with a lot of, like, you know, wall scenes from Casablanca. But it's beautiful. It's a Riyadh inside courts, amazing, and great piano bar. Great, it's really nice. I really recommend it if you ever get to Casablanca.
If I ever get to Morocco, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful country.
I that's one place I'd like to go. I really would. Morocco, Egypt, Israel, Greece.
Yeah.
Those are the places I want to go. Australia. Sorry.
I can tell you like history. I can tell you like history. You picked all the right places, full of history and like an amazing past. And yeah, that's I'm like you. I love traveling and especially discovering new culture and But also, I like going back to all those, like, you know, archaeology, like,
mm-hmm.
archaeological finds and everything. It's amazing, because Egypt and Greece are probably, like, you know, the best places for this, so it's just...
Well, I think that people don't realize how... When people say history isn't important, they don't really know what history is. I'm sorry. Because everything that has gone before led to where we are now. Everything builds on everything. So these places aren't just important, like Morocco, Egypt, Greece, Rome. These are the building blocks of culture. And I don't just mean any specific culture. I mean the human culture.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot Mayan and Mexico and Inca. Guys, include those guys.
I know what you're saying. No, but I understand what you're saying. You're totally right. It's like going back to these places just give you so much more. So much more. I mean, not that there is not, you know, culture everywhere in the world, but it's like as you're saying, it's the origin of the world. I mean, whether we want it or not, this is where we all originated from, most of us. And if we go back to Africa and you go back to Homo sapiens and stuff, we all come from here. And we've scattered around the world and we have all different cultures. But yeah, I mean, the old civilization, the old world is like still Europe and its, you know, surroundings. And a lot of history, I mean, if you want to discover where we're from and where we come from and, you know, how we've, you know, become the people that have, you know, then went to America and to everywhere around the world. Well, yeah, it's going back to your roots, basically, as humans, not really as culture, but it's like even humans, like, you know, all started there, so.
Yeah, it's very important that people realize we're not separate. We're all together. It's one people. The whole human race is one people, and that's when we're going to grow up, is when we realize that. Until then, we're really not civilized.
I so agree. It's but I mean, you know, this is another subject, but I'm definitely a believer in the power of connectivity and, you know, humans and how we're all one and how, like, you know, I don't know, you interacting with me in a coffee place or something anywhere can save my life. And, you know, like, I don't know, I could cross the streets maybe, like, you know, three minutes later than I was supposed to because I just spoke with you, and that, you know, saved my life. But I will, you know, you never know these things. You can never know, but it's the power of humans and connectivity and who we are. And I think that when a person breaks that, well, you know, just cuts itself, I mean, from the world. I mean, just, it's the worst thing to do.
Yeah. Oh, there's this theme that's in several Agatha Christie books that are like exactly what you said. It's really interesting. She had it in Towards Zero and a couple other of her books where she talked about a character was going to commit suicide and another character explained to that person, but you can't because you're part of the plan of humans. And if you take your life, what you're doing is you may cause someone else to die because of something that you do, and you may not even know you do it, that will save their life.
Yes, the butterfly effect.
Yes, exactly. Isn't that cool?
Yes. Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, I don't become, like, you know, crazy about these things, and I know how to, I'm not a hipster, but I do believe that you need to, you know, stay grounded in life and remember these things sometimes and just, like, think about them, and it just, like, you know, brings you back down to earth when you feel like you're not there.
Exactly. It's just my point isn't, it's not religion, it's not even culture, it's the connectivity of humans. We're all connected to each other, and we have responsibility to, as Doctor Who said, be kind. You know, be good, never give up and never give in and all that stuff he says. Because what he's saying in that, or well, now she. Now, what she's saying in that is that we're connected. Be kind to each other. Understand that there's a connection. It doesn't matter who you are, where you're from, what culture you're in, what religion you have, or any of that. Just be kind.
No, but you know that I'm a firm believer in this, and you know my roots, and you know that I'm like Moroccan, French, British, Czech, born in Switzerland, and that I have, you know, Muslim roots on my mother's side, Jewish ancestors on my father's side, and the Christians as well, and like, you know, like as well, like, you know, the Catholic Church of England. I have literally all the religions in my blood, and even religions, and we're not here to talk about this, but even religions, if you take the good aspect and the good side of all these, you know, three beautiful religions, because they can be beautiful if you know how to interpret them on the right side of things, the message is the same with everyone. It's as you were saying, whether we call it connectivity, we call it Buddha, we call it Allah, we call it God, we call it whatever. I can only believe in the fact that the message is always the same, and we always need to be, you know, just connected, grounded, and like, you know, and then you call it whatever, and it needs to be very personal as well. I think religion needs to stop being, you know, a mass effect, or, you know, something that is used, you know, by everyone in general. I think it needs to be something very intimate. It needs to be something you call your own, and it needs to be, and it stops, you know, my, I think I'm also very French in that way. Like, I believe that this, we're the nest of the human rights, and I do believe that my freedom stops where the freedom of my neighbors, you know, begins. And I just and I think that's it. And religion needs to, you know, be something for yourself.
That's right, personal. I have every bit of respect for everybody's belief system. Just don't step on mine. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. It's the old adage, you know. Be kind and do unto others and all those other good stuff. Just be good, you know? Stop being mean to each other.
Exactly. I obviously couldn't choose a god with all those, like, ethnicities I have, so I just, like, you know, created my own little religion, and I believe in respecting everyone, and, you know, just, like, you know, going through, you know, this, the little time I have on this earth, and being respectful and kind to others, and that's it, and I just, you know, go on with my life, and
yep.
I don't think about these things anymore so much. When I was younger, but as you grow up, you just, like, you know, you accept the world and as it is, and people, and you respect everyone, and you accept all of that.
I just think that we have to start being nice and understanding that we're all part of each other, and that's the end of my little spiel. We'll go back to programming.
After all, it's a chat with you guys.
Yeah, it is supposed to be a chat between two friends over coffee. So
there you go. You've done that. You've just done that. Next.
But I just believe in the power of love. I'm really corny, but that's what I believe in.
That's a nice conclusion. That's perfect. That's exactly what we need, love.
You know, the old, I think Dionne Warwick sang it, about love. I can't remember the lyric, but it was at the end of Bob and Carol and Ted and Alice. I know, I always throw these old movies at you. I doubt you've ever heard that one.
No, but you need to remember the quote. You didn't say the quote.
There's, it's with Natalie Wood and Robert Culp and Elliot Gould and Diane Kenyon, and it's about four couples who are trying to learn about relationships, and it's the 70s and encounter groups and all that stuff, but there's a great song at the end, and I can't think of the name of it. yes, I can. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. I remember the first lyric. I can't remember the name of the song, but that's the first lyric.
Nice one.
Anyway, my mind. So... do you want to talk about Redemption, your new movie?
Yes, I'd love to talk about Redemption Day. I know I'm always happy to talk about it. I just feel like I've talked about it so much in the last 6 months that I hope people are not bored with me talking about Redemption Day. But we haven't talked about Redemption Day that much, you and I, in our last Mad Chat, I think. It was mostly Miss Fisher focused, no?
Right.
Yes. So
yes. Well, I mean, we can talk about Miss Fisher, too. We already talked a little bit about it, but, I mean...
Yeah, well, I mean, now I think we're going to let we teased everyone, and we're going to wait for... Well, now we just need to watch it, and I'm just very, very annoyed that I missed the Palm Springs premiere, but someone told me we might get one in Morocco as well in the next few months, so I'm happy now. I've made my peace with it because I know I might get to watch it before it comes out, or maybe around the time when it comes out. So I think it's coming out on the 27th of February, right?
Yeah, in Australia.
Yeah, so I think it's going to come. Like, we're probably going to get a premiere around that time, maybe here as well. So if it's the case, I'll go watch it, and I can't wait.
One of the reasons I grabbed onto this and I drove all that way and everything was because I figure we don't get it until March, sometime in March. We don't even know when in March yet. And I thought, oh, they're going to have it on the 5th? I could do that.
I would have done it as well. 2 hours, I mean, it's a ride, but it's not the worst.
Yeah, I know. But I was just happy to see it. And I'm sorry that I've seen it and you haven't.
No, don't worry.
Okay, so Redemption. Could you remind everybody what it's about and your character?
Yes, so Redemption Day. What can I say? So it's about... So when we're talking about... back... 3 years back, they discovered, and that's a real fact. I mean, and it's CNN covered and everything. It's they found the oldest bones, I think, in Morocco, in southern Morocco, but the oldest like ever. We thought we knew that our species started like 150,000 years back, and I think with those new human bones, we realized that, you know, it pushed it back by 100,000 years or something. So the whole movie is set around this, like, you know, based on a true story, you know, like, found, archaeological found. And so, like, we have one of the protagonists, so Serin Diswan, comes to Morocco. She's an archaeologist, and she is invited to discover some of the, this new archaeological found, and she's... And when she's invited to discover this, those bones, with a limited number of people, she is unfortunately, because everything happens at the border of Algeria in the desert of Morocco, there's a fringe group, ISIS fringe group, that, kidnaps her. And the whole movie is set around her survival and what she's going through while being kidnapped by a fringe group who, pledge allegiance to ISIS. And she's, so you follow this whole catastrophe, and, her husband, the lead, so Gary Dordain, and assisting him throughout the movie in trying to find her back. And so it's very exciting, it's very action political based, and it's I can't wait for it to come out. I'm just so blessed, you know, that I got to be part of this movie, and that we got to shoot it in Morocco, because all of it was shot here. So this is it was really incredible, and it was, in a way, I was very faithful, I guess, to the character, because it's I play a secret agent for the Secret Service of Morocco, who have countered a lot of, like, terrorist attacks in Spain, in France. They've collaborated with a lot of... It's a great department here in Morocco. It's really well-respected in the region, because Morocco is so stable, you know, compared to its neighbors, and it's contributed to finding a lot of, like, terrorists along the years, and it's a big agency. It's called here the DCIG. So it's a bureau for, like, counterterrorism, and it's they were, I mean, I think the director of this bureau here in Morocco was invited by France like 6 months, a year back, and was given the Legion of Honor or something as well, because, you know, they've helped France in their in their current affairs a lot as well. So I in the movie I'm from this service, and I work in this department here. And so I don't know, I think the role in a lot of ways was offered to me by a director friend and producer friend, Hichem Haji, who's now based in the States, but he's Moroccan, and he really tailored it around my persona, I guess, because I'm very multicultural, and so he wanted to, you know, use the fact that I speak so many languages, and well, I'll speak them in the movie as well. You'll see me, you know, talking French and in Moroccan and English, and use this diversity that I have. And I've always been all over the place, you know, Sherry. Like, I've never been able to tell to people, oh, I'm from here or from there, because I'm so from so many different places. So I'm really attached to this role, because, like, you know, it was, I really feel like it allowed to show everything that sometimes were weaknesses for me as strengths, you know, because this character needed to be able to interact internationally with them, you know, well, with America, with England, for the movie, for my character. And everything was tailored with the person that I am, I guess, in a bit. So I'm really happy. I'm really grateful for that, because it's I think it's in a way I didn't really have to act most of it. You know, we were put in the real situations. We were, you know, on set in Morocco. Everything is most of everything was is real. We used very little special effects. We had Morocco as a playground, you know, so it's the intensity was here. The character was, like, built around, you know, skills and strengths that I have. So I'm very looking forward to, you know, then, you know, the aftermath of it all, seeing how it's gonna, you know, it's gonna please, first of all, Moroccans, because, you know, I kind of represent them, and on this one, and also if people are gonna, you know, across the globe, you know, appreciate what we did, because I think it's a very interesting subject. It's very current. It's very, it's interesting, and we have such an amazing cast. It's just like, it's a dream. It's a dream come true, to be fair.
Okay, now this is my big question. What's it like when you first get on a set with somebody that's an actor you admire? You're supposed to be professional. You're not supposed to show it. You're supposed to just be a fellow actor. But do you have any of the little fan thing in there when you meet someone who you've always admired?
Yeah, well, obviously I have. Yeah. Well, for example, on Redemption Day, I was really, 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 really nervous, first of all, and happy as well, to meet Annie Garcia.
Yeah.
A scene with him, like, he's present, very present in the movie, but we unfortunately don't have that many scenes, because he's, you know, more, he plays the U.S. ambassador to Morocco, in the movie, so he's more of a bureau person in the movie, and I'm more of a, you know, a field guy. I'm a bureau guy, but I also, you know, I have field experience, so most of the movie is us on the field, but it's him and, you know, in the back, so it's interesting, because I had one physical scene with him in the movie. And it's and so, yeah, before coming on set, I was just like, is this real? You know, like, I was like, I don't know, like, 10 years back. I mean, I've always loved The Godfather, but I've also loved him and all everything he's done after that, but also a lot in obviously, because that was, you know, back then my it was my time. Well, I mean, it was when I was probably 15, 16, and I loved those movies, the Oceans, you know, Ocean 11, mm-hmm. Ocean 12. Where he plays, in which he plays Benedict, I think that's his name in it. I'm not sure.
Yeah,
Julia Roberts is husband, and the casino holder, and it's and he was like just playing with this big, you know, big cast of like Brad Pitt, George Clooney, Matt Damon, and I'm like, wow, and you know, now I'm like, I'm here, I'm 29, and I'm like, you know, I have this scene with you, and like I've watched you like all my, you know, throughout all my teenage years, and it's like, it's obviously it's it's a blessing. I think you don't really realize it on the moment. Like, I mean, I don't know. I come there as an actor, so I'm on set. I have to, you know, do my things, and so I just stay focused and I just do this. But at the end of the day, when, you know, we can go back to normal and, you know, just chat, yeah, I'm like, wow, you know, I mean, I don't tell him wow, but in my head, I'm like, wow, I'm like, it's Andy Garcia, you know, it's cool, and he's such a great actor, such a great person. But I was impressed by how of an amazing person he is, so that made it even more beautiful, you know, because he's such an amazing person. And I could definitely tell he was a dad because he was so caring, and I know his kids, now that I've met him, are important to him, and they're all, like, you know, a little maybe younger than me, but not that much. So, like, you know, he's very, very caring, very, very caring, very patient, very. He's an amazing person, and really, I was glad and happy that I was a fan for all these years, because I was not disappointed when I met him. I was like, this is a stand-up guy. Yeah, really good.
It's interesting because Carol Burnett. Do you remember that show, the TV show? She used to have a variety show in the U.S.
Yeah, but I didn't watch it. I mean, I'm familiar with, like, a few scenes. I think I used to, you know, like, maybe skip it on TV, but I don't think I watched it back then.
Well, toward the end of the series, they wanted to give her a surprise. And you think, you know Carol Burnett, though. You know she's a big star, and you've probably seen some of her movies, right? Is that right?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Sorry.
No, I think we have a little delay. So, for the surprise, her favorite movie star was Jimmy Stewart.
Okay.
And she was doing her usual talk to the audience. And the producer said, we have a special surprise for the last show. And the curtain opened up, and Jimmy is playing the piano. And I think he was singing Jimmy Crack Corn or something silly. She almost had a heart attack. It was so adorable. She's like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God.
Wow.
She's a big star, but she, you know, we're all fans of somebody, I think.
Okay, to be fair, if you want to know, I've learned how to control this. I mean, I've never really, no, I can't say I've never had it, but I mean, you know, I've talked about it in our last show. Like, I was lucky enough to start being on set, like, young, like you were, like, around when 17, 16, and my first set was, like, you know, DiCaprio, Russell Crowe, Mark Strong, and Ridley Scott behind the camera, and I was there 17 years old. So I think, thanks to that, I'm ready for anything else. When I was 17, and I was still going to high school, and I was just a stand-in, not even an actor on that shoot, but it was, like, for at least a month and a half. Maybe even 2 months. So I worked on this set a lot, and it's a good thing that I was not an actor, because, like, it got me, you know, it just got me familiar with the set, but also with being around, I guess, you know, people I admire my whole life, and I, you know, I don't know. I think that when you're an actor, if I had just met them as an actor, like, you know, you're hired for, like, a limited amount of time, maybe a week, because, you know, all your scenes are shot, you know, in a week or 5 days, so you don't always get to exchange so much with actors. So I don't really like meeting actors. I mean, I love meeting them, you know, and working with them on set. I mean, but you never really get to appreciate the time, because, you know, when one is shooting, the other one is rehearsing. When the one is rehearsing, the other one is shooting. Or, you know, the schedule is all messed up. And when all these big stars meet up for a movie like we did, it's everyone has a very tight schedule, and they're, you know, flying back after, you know, a few days, or they have to, you know, go back on another shoot or another rehearsal. So it's very hard to talk with everyone and to get to exchange as much with them on set. But when I was on this set for 2 months as a stand-in, so it was not about my performance. It was, you know, more about me being on set every day and being there in case they needed a stand-in for something. I got to see them every day, you know, and go at lunch with them and, you know, speak with them. And after, I guess, you know, after a few, I mean, I always respect them, and, like, you know, I'm still a big fan, But I mean, you just, you know, it becomes more natural. It becomes more, it's easier because you're like, okay, it's Tuesday, it's Wednesday, okay, but I'll be with them Monday and, you know, and Tuesday. And then when I was 17, I got that, I mean, I remember that vividly, and it just like, you know, then I was like, okay, great. I'm kind of over it, not over the fact that I was still, you know, in the same room as DiCaprio every day. You can't, but I mean, at the end of the day, you just accept it a little more. I don't know. It's a weird. I don't know how to say it, because it's a weird feeling, and I wouldn't even be able to explain it. So it's but yeah. So I got used to that, and now when I meet people, I always go back to this. I'm just like, you know, it reminds me of my first time on set. I'm super happy to meet them. But I ask for my picture. Don't worry. I go for the picture after. I'm like, yeah, please. But I have a picture with you. Cause, you know, wow. Or can you tell me everything you can about, you know, your life and your acting and how you got there? And no, I'm like a kid. Obviously, I ask them all those questions and stuff. But because I have a little time with them, I have time to ask, you know, the questions. Maybe a few at lunch, a few at night, and then I'm like, you know, and I just don't sound that annoying. But it's trust me. There's no difference. Like, when you're a fan, no matter if you're, you know, an actor or not.
Yeah, that's how I feel, too. I mean, the first set that we were talking about privately in my little green room was I ever was on was a movie called, it was a TV movie called Thursday's Child. And Jenna Rollins was the lead. And we were shooting at UCLA. And she had her... We also had a shoot at UCLA Medical Center, and I remember I was walking by her trailer, and she was sitting outside on a little chair outside of the trailer, and I said, "Hi, Jenna," and she said, "Hi, Sherry," and I said, "I know it's probably not professional, but since this is my last day, could I have an autographed picture, please?" And she goes, "Hey, I would do the same thing. Hold on a minute," and she gave me an autographed picture.
Yeah.
That was the last day.
You were right for the last day. I mean, I don't think usually, like, you know, the actors themselves, you know, mind, you know, signing something, especially not on set. But I think it's you always worry that you might upset an AD or someone else, you know, goes like, oh, don't bother the, you know, don't bother the big stars and everything. So it's always good to wait on the last day if you want to get a picture taken.
I didn't even get a picture taken. She just autographed a picture for me. We didn't do that kind of stuff then. We didn't do the, hey, why don't you take a picture with me? No, they didn't do that back then. You could get an autograph, but not...
Yeah, people barely ask autograph anymore, I guess. I don't know. I was asked one for one autograph like a few weeks back when I was at the film festival with Marrakesh. And it's funny because she was actually a follower online, and she sent me a message saying, "I saw you there. Are you there tomorrow again?" And I'm like, "Yes." Like, I want an autograph, and I was like, "Whoa, that's so old school. That's so nice." I get a lot of like, you know, let's take a picture, but I don't get a lot of like, you know, let's take like you know, like sign this. And she actually brought a whole book, and it was like, beautiful because she was like, yeah. I was apparently the first one to write in it, and she had a whole section for it, and it's nice to see that some people still, you know, believe in the power of, like, physicality, or I don't know how you call it, but not digital world, you know.
Well, nice. When I was a little girl, I grew up in L.A., so I met a lot of actors, and I grew up around a lot of actors, but one of the first time I remember going myself to ask for an autograph, we were in Vegas, and you're not supposed to take kids to Vegas, but my parents always did because they loved us and they brought us. Well, this was the Circus had just opened, and my dad won. He was on the game show, and he won the prize to go to Circus, and they took us because you're supposed to bring kids to this place. And so it was a new hotel at that time, and I was about 6 or 7 years old. No, I was a little older, about 8. And we were at breakfast. And one of my favorite movies from that period, still, actually, was Where Angels Go, Trouble Follows with Rosalind Russell and Stella Stevens. And they were shooting a movie in the hotel because it just opened. And Stella Stevens, her son Andrew Stevens, Robert Weber and Jesse White were all at a table. And first lesson my parents taught me is you never bother an actor while they're eating. It's rude. If they finish and it looks like they're just talking and shooting the breeze, then you can go and ask her for an autograph. And I said, okay. So we're all eating, and Jesse White, I don't know if you know who he was, but he was a comedian, and he liked to talk. And he was just blah, 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 blah. And my dad goes, okay, Stella looks a little bored. You can go over very politely, ask her. But if she doesn't want to, don't be hurt. So I walked over, and I said, my little girl voice, will I have your autograph, please? And she came over, she put her arm around me, of course, honey. And I came prepared. That was another thing my dad taught me. He gave me his business card and his pen, and I handed it to her, and she signed it, and she was, you're very sweet, aww. And she's like, and that was about it. But it was a lesson. Never bother somebody while they're in a private situation, eating, in the bathroom, anything with their family. Those are the things I was taught. I don't know if people do that now, but that was what I was taught.
No, I think it's a good set of rules.
But yeah, that was my first autograph. I still have it.
That's beautiful, though.
Yeah, I was. She was so sweet. I didn't even know who her son was at that time. I wish I knew who he was then, because I would have asked him too, because I liked his work. So you're doing commercial work and modeling. Any big things that you want to talk about?
I'm mostly focusing on the promotion of Redemption Day at the moment, and it's released, and well, as you saw, Miss Fisher, it's the first release of the year, but I have a couple more. I mean, Redemption Day probably in between April to June. I think we have no date confirmed at the moment, but as soon as I'll know them, I'll share them. So we spoke about Greetings from ISIS last time as well, and it's also coming out now, but it's a local project, but it's aimed at international festival, because it's in English as well, so it's going to be, locally released everywhere in all our theaters in Morocco, and it's probably then going to go off to France, and maybe then, you know, onto the Arab world, and who knows, you know, it can always go somewhere in the States, you never know. So happy about that, because I'm just really, like, after those last 3 years of, you know, intensely acting after being a student, I haven't really been able to see anything. This is the life of an actor. You get so many, you know, you stare on all those projects, and you just get to see them, like, you know, a year and a half, 2 years after. So it's, I'm as pissed as the fans, trust me on this one. But so I'm in the stage where I'm really happy to see everything, you know, coming up to life, like, in the next few months, I have a couple of, like, projects and talk as well with, you know, different producers and directors, but I can't speak about them yet, because nothing is confirmed on either side yet. But
that's one of the frustrations, isn't it?
Yeah.
I have this great project, but I can't talk about it.
it's the worst. I can tell you now, because it's out. For example, last year I was in talk for a long time. I mean, not for a long time, but I had a call back for Rocket Man. It was a small part, but it was still, like, when I think of Elton John's assistant in the movie or someone, and it's like, it just didn't come through, but it was crazy, because, like, you know, you get very, very serious when the A sent your way, and very serious, you can speak about these things, and, you know, until they're out. So that was probably, what am I saying? That was, like, probably 2 years back, because that was two summers ago when they were shooting it. So, yeah, so with the filming and everything, you never really can speak about them until it's out. But it's, I'm happy to see everything come out this year. Morocco's been great, an amazing platform. They've been really, like, you know, giving me they're I guess proud in a way, you know, for my presence in this movie. It's the first, you know, Moroccan movie that will, I guess, go and be distributed in Hollywood first. And so it's a big deal here. It's a big deal. People are being very kind to me, are putting me on covers of magazines and, like, you know, giving me all this attention. So I'm really enjoying this little moment that I was really, really not thinking of and not expecting. So it's been nice. It's been a lot of like, you know, thinking about the future now. So, like, you know, meeting up with different agents, and going to also planning my move to LA, because this needs to happen in the next year or so. So I'm restructuring everything, but so everything is like a bit over the place right now, but yeah, as you said, I get to, you know, model a bit now and then in Morocco, which is pretty cool. Just did a cool commercial for, like, a very, very high-end luxury, like, it's not, I wouldn't be able to say hotel, because it's, like, more about those very fancy tents in the middle of the desert in Morocco.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's tailored, holidays, it's amazing, like, those, you have to rent out the entire camp, but it's like it's 8 tents, and you come in with friends. And I'm not even really able to talk about this or the name or anything, because it's not out yet. And they actually are gonna have a whole pop-up event with their real tents and everything in the middle of, I think, Kennedy Garden in New York or somewhere. I don't know where that's gonna be, somewhere in New York, but. It's in some kind of a park or a small. They're gonna have, like, a real life pop up there for like a month, representing Morocco soon. So that's really cool, because, you know, they want me as an ambassador. So I've just started with them, and there's a lot of, like, projects with them coming up. So yeah, different things like this. So that's been nice, and but focusing mostly on trying to make the move to LA at the moment. So this is, like, you know, taking a lot of my time. And meeting up with a lot of people and, you know, traveling to this and stuff. So that's what I've been doing mostly.
This is going to sound so American, but is that like the tents that they used in Sex and the City when they were in the middle of the desert?
Yes, you could, but I guess maybe even better, because now they've upgraded them. Like, you literally have, like, you know, like, heaters, literally big, like, in en suites, you know, tents, literally, with, like, you know, hangers, your private bathrooms, like, the bathrooms are, like, you know, like, look like all those, you know, 1001 Nights, you know, Marrakesh Hotel, with all those, like, fake ivory and all those beautiful, like, you know, bathtubs, and it's amazing. You just, it looks, you know, like a black tent, huge one, but you walk in, and it's like, you know, it's like a hotel, a 5-stars hotel. It's very high-end luxury, and it's, I was really, really happy to be part of the project, because I got to be there for a week. it was really nice, and we got to shoot this. And I'm happy. I'm happy. Morocco's is moving up. There's a lot of things happening here as well. So I'm glad. I've just been, as I told you before we even started the chat, that it's just been everywhere. I guess you've followed up a little bit with my life online. I've gone to Italy in September. I was in London last month. I was in the desert 2 weeks back to do this. I was at the Marrakesh Film Festival, it was, like, you know, 3 months back. I was in Paris 2 months back again, like, you know, for meetings with agents and stuff. So I'm super blessed, not complaining about it at all, but I'm like, I just haven't been able to see anything straight, you know, like, being like, okay, this is what's happening next week, this is where I am, this is where I'm going to be. It's just like, so I've been living in the moment, and, you know, things have been, you know, coming, you know, in waves. So I'm just, like, you know, enjoying the ride.
Cool. We're coming to the end of the interview. Did I forget anything, or is there anything you want to add?
No, I'm so glad. I'm so glad that you invited me back. And thank you for, you know, listening to my, I guess, a little more boring life than last time.
No, it's not boring at all.
But I'm always happy to chat with you, Sherry. It's always a, you know, pleasure to be on your show, and, you know, I hope I'll be back in a couple of months with all of those things I've mentioned that I can't really talk about, and, you know, they will have, you know, gone somewhere, and that we can all, you know, just talk about them then.
Terrific. Thank you for coming on, and thank you for allowing me to chat with you so soon. I didn't realize it was only 7 months. I know you're busy. Thank you for doing it.
Please, it's a pleasure.
And thank you for chatting with Sherry.
Thank you.